I'd like for you to get your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of St. Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, I want us to begin reading with verse 1. And I want us to see what Jesus was seeing as well as what was transpiring in this day. And I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 says, this is Jesus. It says, he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury. Now picture in your minds a kind of treasury box as people are on their way into the temple. And people, as they're entering in, are putting in their gifts to the temple and to what was their church of the day. He saw the rich putting their gifts in the treasury. He also saw a poor widow putting in two mites. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in their gifts for God, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all the living she had. As some spoke of how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left on another that will not be thrown down. And they asked him, teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when this is about to happen? And he said in verse 8, beware, lest you be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. When you hear of wars and commotions, do not be afraid, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at hand. And he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes will occur in various places, and there will be famines and pestilence, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will seize you and persecute you, and delivering you up into the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will turn out as a testimony for you, so on and so forth. I want us to read verse 8 one more time. It says, beware lest you be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. And I want to speak with you for a few minutes today about having a foundation in these last days. Having a strong foundation in these last days. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to portray your heart, especially in this time that we are living. Lord, many of us have questions. We are looking at the news. We see so many things happening. And I pray that, Lord, you would answer our hearts today. And I pray that, Lord, you would help us to be a people that will stand sure and strong no matter what happens on the earth. And so we commit this time into your hand. We ask that you'd bless the preaching of your word. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. This portion of scripture in the Gospel of Luke is actually shared by all the gospel writers. Later on, you can take the time to read Mark chapter 13 or Matthew 24. But I'm coming to you today from Luke chapter 21 because what we have in this chapter is a very interesting scenario. Jesus, in the beginning of the chapter, is beholding people as they're entering into the temple, offering their gifts to the temple. Many of them are giving of their abundance, as the scripture has said. Some of them are wealthy, and what they're putting into the treasury box hasn't hurt their pocketbook at all. They've given, and they've given out of their abundance, and thank God for that. It's wonderful when God blesses his people, and from their abundance, they give to the work of God. Amen? The scripture has declared that God loves cheerful givers. And so in no way is Jesus putting down their offerings. But what Jesus takes note of is something that no one else ever would have. You see, Jesus looks at this poor widow who doesn't have a lot of wealth. Unlike the rich people throwing in out of their abundance, she doesn't have anything. And the scripture says that she throws in two mites. And in that day, and when we compare the two mites to our modern money, those two mites were actually of less worth than our pennies. So when we have a penny, those two mites were less in value than one of our pennies. And so as she throws these two mites into the treasury box, Jesus takes note of how much she gave, and he responds in a way that I'm sure shocked his disciples. He says that the others have been giving out of their abundance, but this woman has given all that she had. And I'm sure that they were amazed at what he said, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all her living, all that she had. And as Jesus takes note of this widow in her poverty, I'm here to tell you that in the days that we are living in, when no one else may notice, Jesus notices you. But in the same way, this widow woman maybe would have thought no one would even have a clue that it's of all of my living going into this box, Jesus sees, and he knows everything that we do and give to him. And so as we look at this story, especially in light of the other passages that we read, as we are living in times that are troubling, to be honest with you. You know, when we look at the news and we hear that this is the worst hurricane in a century, or that this is the worst hurricane ever recorded in the history of America, or you hear about these earthquakes or the wildfires or even other things that are transpiring on the earth, we begin to want to feel a little worried. We can want to begin to wonder about the times that we're living. But even as we wonder about those things, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to fear, that Jesus truly takes notice of where you are. He sees your need, and he wants to be the one that will supply and meet you right where you are, whether the days are peaceful and everything is going well, or things begin to seem like they're going chaotic around the world. He wants to meet you right where you are. He saw this widow woman, and he knew that she gave everything. And so there, as they are there near the temple, this is the temple that's in Jerusalem, this temple had been beautified by Herod. Herod had found favor with the Jews of the day, and he re-beautified this temple that had been rebuilt after the Jews had returned from Babylonian captivity. The temple had sat there, but Herod began to make it even more beautiful. That's why they call it Herod's temple. And so as they are there and they see this thing happen with the widow, and they're there just looking at the beauty of the temple, they begin to talk to Jesus about it. And they begin to say how beautifully it was adorned, or how beautiful the buildings were. And Jesus now responds in a way that I'm sure troubled them all over again. He says, there's coming a day when not one stone would be left on another, that all would be thrown down. And I'm sure as they look at this magnificent edifice, this building that had been put together with these heavy stones, it was not just cheap wooden structure, it was rocks that held this structure upright. That to hear that they would be thrown down, I'm sure troubled them. And so they gather together a little bit later, and they begin to say to him, when will these things be? When will this begin to happen? And Jesus responds by answering their question on the Mount of Olives. This is known as the Olivet Discourse, because Jesus was teaching them on the Mountain of Olives, the Mount of Olives, which was just over on the hillside outside of Jerusalem, from where they could see a panoramic view of Jerusalem. They could see the temple there and all of its beauty as well. Jesus says, beware. And this is what I want to focus in on, because you see, we all hear about, and we all hear over and over again about the earthquakes. We hear about the famines. We hear, like we talked about a few weeks ago, about the waves of the sea roaring and men's hearts failing them for fear of what's coming upon the earth. These natural disasters that are affecting the earth in these latter days. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to you and me as children of the living God that these things are taking place. It should only wake us up and stir us up to remind us that we are living in the end days. But because that is the case, Jesus' first warning in all three Gospels is to beware lest you be deceived. And so as we see all of these things affecting the earth, I'm here to tell you that we shouldn't only be wondering about the signs that are taking place in the land, that we must also be on guard in regards to our hearts. For in the same way that natural disasters will increase, so will deception. And what I'm here to tell you today is that we must guard our hearts from the deceiver and the deception that will rise in the latter days. What's so interesting is how history repeats itself. It's interesting that right after Jesus would resurrect from the dead and ascend into heaven, the church would begin to proclaim the gospel with thousands coming to Jesus, sometimes after one sermon. Just as Peter preached that first Pentecostal sermon, 3,000 were saved in one day. The Bible would say that he would add to the church daily. People were coming to Jesus. The gospel was proclaimed in power, in authority. And as the church began to grow, persecution began to affect the church. Paul himself was at the head of one of those persecutions that was confronting the church. Thank God he got saved. With the same zeal that he had to come against the church, that zeal was used for the church later on as he proclaimed the gospel around the then known world. But Paul would mention, especially towards the close of the book of Acts, that after his departure, he had this concern in his heart that wolves would begin to creep in and wouldn't spare the sheep. Wolves would begin to rise and would begin to attack the flock of God. And these wolves were not literal wolves, and the people of God weren't literal sheep. He was talking in allegory. He was telling and explaining things in story. That the church, which has been likened to sheep or to lambs, would be attacked by wolves. And what he was describing was the deception, the false gospels, the false apostles that would rise and would begin to teach things that were wrong. If you've done any study into church history, you know that towards the close of the apostolic age, before AD 100, Gnostic teachers were rising. These Gnostic teachers were teaching things about Jesus that were not biblically true. They were saying things that were wrong. Some of the teachings were telling people you can live in sin and live like the devil in essence, giving license to sin, and it was contrary to God's standard of living for a child of God. Some of them were teaching even the extreme opposite of saying you should be in such bondage that you can't even do anything. You've got to be like a hermit locked in a cave. You've got to dress a particular way. You've got to beat yourself. You've got to whip yourself to earn pleasure before God. And that was also another extreme of teaching that was beginning to rise. And Jesus warned them in that day, beware lest you be deceived. He said, for many will come in my name, saying that I am he, or saying that he is near. And he says, do not go after them. He says, you will begin to hear of wars and rumors of wars. And we are definitely hearing these kinds of things even today, aren't we? You have a rogue nation like North Korea and this Kim, whatever his name is. He has made his threats, and our president has made counter threats, and we all know what's going on there. I mean, the detonation of a nuclear hydrogen bomb was just recently done there in North Korea. And so there is the reality of these threats in our day. And because these things are happening, our eyes must be aware and open that Jesus is soon coming. Now, I draw attention to his first warning because he does the same thing in all of the accounts. You can read it later on in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and here in Luke 21. Beware you be deceived. And because this is there in the scripture, we must give heed to what he is saying. You and me as God's people must be aware that deception is going to rise. We must be a people, therefore, of God's word to know what God is saying. It's important for you and for me to be students of God's word now more than ever before, so that we will know the truth of God, so when the error comes our way, we can discern the true from the false. Deception never comes blatantly open. It always comes subtly, doesn't it? It's like the one that goes into the bank with fake money before the teller. And the teller handles the money so much in the bank, when they feel the fake money, they know automatically there's something wrong. And I'm here to tell you that you and me, like the teller in a bank, we must be so well versed in God's Word and walking hand in hand with our Lord that when the deception comes our way, we're able to tell the deception that is before us because we know the truth. We must be students of God's Word, and we must read the Bible. We must pray over it. We must ask God, fill me with the Word of God, because I do not want to be deceived in these latter days. Now, that doesn't mean that God isn't going to be watching out for us, but that does mean we shouldn't be negligent or watchful. We must be aware that this is coming, and we must be aware that the Word of God is God's standard, and we know who God is and what He tells us to do by the Word of God. Amen. And so when the deception comes our way, then we will begin to discern what is true and what is false. You know, it's so interesting that the latter days have been called the latter days since the time of the early church. Did you know that? It's interesting to me that even just whenever we had, in the late 1800s, the early 1900s, there were movements of deception that began to creep into the world, especially here in America. And some of those deceptive teachings have literally began to impact a lot of people. And sadly, a lot of those that were lured into these deceptive teachings were sincere Christians too. But the reason why they were lured in was because they didn't know the Word of God. You know, when someone comes around and seems to be spiritual and begins to tell you something, you should take everything that they say and begin to judge it against God's standard. For wolves, they work under the cover of darkness. Wolves will come into the shadows. They always try to act like they're a spiritual authority in your life, and they begin to tell you things as from the Lord. But how do you know whether it's from the Lord or not? Well, we know it because we know the Word of God. If it doesn't measure up to God's Word, then we can discern it. The other morning, I was there at the house, and I was looking at our van, kind of dented up in the back. And all of a sudden, this vehicle pulled onto our property, and I was like, I wonder who this is. And so these people came in. They were on another van. And this elderly lady jumped out of the back seat, and she started talking to me. And lo and behold, I discovered who and what she was a part of. She was a part of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, this lady came to me, and she gave me her material. And the material said something about angels and what have you. But thankfully, because I've been a student of God's Word, I began to counter everything she said. And so she began to talk of angels, and so I began to talk to her of angels. And I began to counter everything, knowing where her particular teaching came from. I began to confront her with her own teaching, but then countered it by the Word of God. And this elderly lady, I'm sure, was surprised. She even said later on, you're the first person that I've ever talked to that knew their Bible the way that you do. And I said, praise the Lord, right? But I began to get her to start thinking about what she believed. And I began to do it by confronting her with the Word of God, knowing the Word of God. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to boast on my not biblical knowledge. No, please hear what I'm saying. But I was able to discern immediately where she was coming from and what she was trying to say and even why she was saying it, because I know a little bit about their beliefs. Amen? And I've also done enough study to counter that belief by the Word of God. What are you saying, Pastor James? Deception is on the rise. The Jehovah's Witnesses came about in the latter 1800s. Other cults arose at the same time. And it's so interesting that in the latter times, these things would rise. Now, if that was in the latter 1800s and early 1900s, And those things rose when there was a time known as the Great Awakening of the Church. There were revivals happening here in the United States of America. You've heard people like George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and John and Charles Wesley and these camp meeting revivals that took place. This was happening at the same time these heresies were rising. And if it was like that then, why do we think that we would be exempt of those things today? And so it's our responsibility as God's children to be people of God's Word. Pray when you're reading God's Word, Lord, give me understanding. Amen? I want to close with a portion of Scripture in Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 real fast. You see, Jesus said, beware lest you be deceived. Beware. Watch out. And he said clearly that in the latter days, deception will be on the rise. They will say that they are of Christ. They will say they are of Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, some of those are another Jesus. Amen? It's not the Jesus of the Bible. But how do we know who Jesus is but that we spend time in his Word, reading and praying over and asking God for understanding? Look at Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to read with me verses 24 through 27. It says this, and I'm reading from the Modern English Version. It says, whoever hears these sayings, I want you to say these sayings. That's talking about his word, amen? Whoever hears these sayings of mine, and, I want you to say and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine, now notice both of them are hearing, aren't they? They're both hearing the words. Verse 20, chapter 7, verse 24, whoever hears these sayings. Verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings. So they're both hearing it. But it says, and everyone, in verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and its fall was great. Jesus, at the close of his Sermon on the Mount, makes mention of those who will have a sure foundation, a strong foundation. And he mentions that those that have the strong foundation are those that hear his sayings. Now, his sayings are found in the Word of God. Amen? The preacher on Sunday morning needs to be preaching his sayings. Amen? Every one of you has the right to test everything that I say by the Word of God to make sure that Pastor James is saying the Word of God. Don't take for granted that he just always preaches the truth. I mean, I better. Amen? But we got to make sure by the Word of God. Amen? But we must hear the words of Jesus, but not only hear, we must also do. For the Scripture says, those that hear these sayings and do what he says are those that build their house upon a rock. And in these latter days, as we see these calamities happening in our world, and there is the threat of deception to be on the rise, it is our responsibility individually to be a people that will build our spiritual houses upon a rock. Amen. Not build our houses on the sand. I'm sure as we look at these things that are happening in the world, houses that have a sandy foundation, I mean, the water just beats and eventually will dig a hole and knock that whole house down. Isn't that true? I mean, that's just the way it is. You guys have heard of sinkholes? The reason why these sinkholes happen is because these communities or homes are built upon very unsure ground. And the water underneath begins to move and all of a sudden there is a hole that develops. And the reality of an unsure foundation is obviously when it's not founded on a rock. But here, Jesus is relaying to you and to me that if we want to stand steadfast when the winds are blowing and the lies are being told and deception is all around us, we will stand secure when our houses are built upon the rock. And I'm here to tell you the rock is Jesus. Amen? Build your life upon what he has said and upon who he is and who you are in him. And as you learn these things, and as you grow in Him, you will not be moved. Amen? When the whole world is wondering, and they're questioning, and they're even worried about what's coming upon the earth, you can have a testimony in the midst of the darkness. That Jesus is holding us strongly. Amen? That we don't have to be afraid. That He is for us. He's not against us. Amen? That even if I don't have, God will provide. God is going to be faithful to me. Why? Because the Word of God has said so. Amen? And so in this latter day, these latter days that we are living in, it's important for you and me to build our houses upon the rock. Amen? And even as Jesus warned, these things are going to happen. We hear the news reports about, even when it says, nation will rise against nation. When you look in the Greek, that word nation means ethnos. That means ethnic group against ethnic group. Is that happening? We must be aware that we don't fall prey to those same elements of the world around us. We're not about ethnic groups. Amen? The church is its own ethnicity. Amen. The church comprises the yellow, brown, black, white. Did I forget any? Red and yellow, black and white, right? No, red, brown, yellow, black and white. There we go. That's all of them. That's the church. It's not this race against that race. It's not that ethnic group against that ethnic group. You as the church of the living God have overcome those boundaries. Amen. And so our houses will be built upon that rock as you and I become those diligent students of the Word. Amen? As we attend Bible study like we do at the Sunday school and listen to the Word of God preached at church. Amen? Preached in a way that is true, not deceptively. And that we can grow thereby and allow the roots of our spiritual life to begin to dig into that rock. So when the winds begin to blow and the winds and the rains fall, we're going to remain securely strong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go ahead and stand.